I'm reading from Philippians 4, verses 10 to 20. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me more aid than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
In the early evening of Friday, March the 10th, 2006, Abby Lewis, Rebecca Truman, Kathleen Gall, Reverend McQuaig, and I boarded British Airways flight to London's Heathrow Airport. Following an 8-hour layover in London, we were on our way to Johannesburg, or Joburg, as the seasoned flyers like to call it. Upon landing in Africa, we boarded a South African Airlines and flew another 2 hours back up north to the small airport in the little sliver of a country called Malawi. In 2003, the Lord had opened our eyes to the plight of the children in Malawi who had become orphans as a result of the HIV/AIDS epidemic that was sweeping sub-Saharan Africa. The estimate of the day was 1 million children orphaned as their parents, and indeed their parents' generation, was decimated by this terrible disease. Grandmothers had become the lifeline, and it was not just grandmothers. Sometimes it was an aunt or an uncle, and sometimes it was simply an older sibling whose opportunity to attend school was now being challenged by the need to assume the role of parent. Sometimes these young children were left to their own devices. So out of this catastrophe, communities were pitching in to raise money in support of their orphan children, and community centers were set up to provide a safe environment for the 4 and underage children, allowing the adults to work or the older children to go to school. The needs were great. The Lord not only opened our eyes to these needs, but he raised up the people of St. Andrew Streetsville, who over these 16 years have prayed for Malawi and continued to financially support the work of Presbyterian World Service and Development, the service arm of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. That is why over the last 16 years we have been able to send almost $90,000 in support of orphan care and vulnerable families in Malawi. We have carried out a lot of fundraising, dinners, silent auctions, charity golf tournament, Ride for Refuge, and we even catered a couple of events here at the church, with the fee for that catering being a donation to Malawi. And, of course, many, many pancake breakfasts. I will never forget what we saw in Malawi as we visited the Malunji Mission Hospital and went out into six communities farther out into the countryside. In these communities, people undertook many projects, working hard to raise money needed to support the orphan children. But what I will remember most is the thankfulness of the people. In the very midst of very little, the people were always thankful. We shared meals together with these warm and generous Africans, but never without giving thanks. For me, being in Malawi was a mountaintop experience. In the way that God provided, and in turn the way in which the people were thankful, in this, the poorest of countries. Today, it is indeed my privilege to welcome to St. Andrews Anna Muir from Presbyterian World Service and Development. Anna is just back, at least in December, from Malawi, and I am meeting Anna for the first time. We have, however, had numerous conversations, and in every instance, it has indeed been my pleasure. I do believe that in Anna's comments today and presentation this morning, we will see that things are improving in Malawi. Still lots of work to be done, but the Lord has his hand on the circumstances and has enabled us to be part of those changes. We are delighted, Anna, to welcome you to the platform and look forward to hearing the latest from Malawi. And if you will, just before you start, if I may, would you bow with me in prayer? Loving God and Heavenly Father, we praise you that you opened our hearts to the people of Malawi and that you have raised up the people of St. Andrews Streetsville in prayer with financial support and with financial support for this tiny country. We thank you, Lord, for Presbyterian World Service and Development and the desire of those who work there to serve you faithfully at home and abroad. Lord God, pour out your mercy and grace on the children, the vulnerable families, and on all these grandmothers and others who have fostered and cared for orphan children. Often at times in the sorrow of losing their own children, and at a time in their own lives when they might have enjoyed more freedom and less responsibility. We ask not only for provision for their physical needs, but Lord, that you will continue to nurture their faith, that they can bring the best out of these children who have suffered great trauma in their lives. And now, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for Anna. We ask your richest blessing upon her, and we ask as she brings her presentation to us today that you will be glorified in Anna's words and that you will continue to lead us, the people of St. Andrews, as we reach out here at home and abroad. And all of this we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Anna.
Good morning. My name is Anna Muir, and I'm the Communications Assistant at Presbyterian World Service and Development, the Development and Relief Agency of the Presbyterian Church in Canada. I want to thank you very much for having me here today. I feel very excited to be able to share more about the work of PWS&D, especially the work that we're accomplishing together in Malawi. I felt very fortunate to be able to see and experience these projects up close, and I can tell you that the work that we're doing together has been truly impactful. Your support is helping to lift up and empower vulnerable and marginalized people throughout Malawi, and they've been able to improve their lives thanks to your support. So first, I just want to start with the vision that guides all of the work that we're doing together at PWS&D. Inspired by God's promise of abundant life, PWS&D envisions a sustainable, compassionate, and just world. With support from Presbyterians across Canada like you, we respond to God's call to serve the marginalized and distressed. We respond to help communities around the world overcome poverty, recover from emergency situations, and build sustainable futures. The work that we're doing together through PWS&D falls under the categories of emergency relief, refugee sponsorship, and long-term community development. We're working with partners in the communities we work in overseas to carry out development programs that work at the grassroots level to combat poverty and to make lasting changes. And we accomplish this by focusing on these topics: food security, health, livelihoods, and human rights. And I'm going to be touching on these topics as it relates to what I've seen being accomplished in Malawi. In the passage we read today from Philippians chapter 4, Paul expresses his gratitude for the gifts which the Philippian church sent to him. It's a very appropriate passage for today, being a day full of thanks and appreciation for the continuing financial and prayerful support we receive from St. Andrew's, a truly valued partner in our ministry in Malawi and throughout our global village. So everything that I'm going to touch on today is all possible because of you. So thanks a lot. So the first program priority is food security. Together, we're working to help end hunger in vulnerable Malawian communities. PWS&D programs in food security provide farmers with seeds, tools, fertilizer, and training in organic, sustainable farming practices. These increase crop yields and help farmers build resilience to environmental changes. Much of PWS&D's work in food security is done in collaboration with the Canadian Food Grains Bank, which is a membership of 15 churches and church agencies, all working together with the common goal of ending global hunger. PWS&D and the Canadian Food Grains Bank are working together to help women like Twambalire in that picture there. So I met her on my trip to Malawi when we visited a community called Karanga. Twambalire has been through a lot. She and her husband are farmers, and together they have 6 children. But getting enough money to feed them and look after them has been difficult lately. Climate change and the unpredictable and extreme weather patterns that follow have made it difficult for them to grow enough food to sell and to eat. This is what Twambalire shared with me. She said, "For me to get money, I would have to go door to door and borrow from my neighbors. But with this project, I have been helped quite a lot." So what this project is a conservation agriculture project. So conservation agriculture is a technique that encourages the use of sustainable farming practices, like recycling old plant material into mulch, making organic fertilizer, and rotating different crops on one plot of land so that the nitrogen can stay locked in the soil and nutrients can stay in the soil. So it helps increase soil's fertility and its moisture so that more crops can grow and farmers and their families can better overcome hunger. So you might be able to see in the background, that's Twambalire's plot of land, and she's mulched it with old corn husks. And she's also planting maize and legumes together on one plot of land. So when we were there, it hasn't blossomed or anything yet, but she was feeling very encouraged by what she's seen so far, and she's looking forward to what the results of this project will be. So thanks to your support and support of Presbyterians across Canada, 229 families have been able to rise above hunger over the last year because of this project. Another part of this same project that Twambalire is participating in is a self-help group or a savings group. And you can see her there. She has the hat on and she's writing in the book there. So each week she joins together with other farmers and members of her community to share and distribute loans amongst themselves. And they use these loans to buy farming tools and supplies and seeds. And they also use this time to discuss the new farming techniques that they're learning. They also have what's called a social fund, where they put aside any extra money that they can spare for people who in that group who are really strapped to meet urgent needs in their families. Because of this group, Twambalire has been able to save a bit of money to help improve her farm and to better meet the needs of her children. I was also really impressed to hear about the ways that Twambalire and her husband, there he is there, are using the money from the self-help group. She said, "Together we identify problems in our home. Once we've borrowed the money, we discuss how best to use it." So she's working alongside her husband to make decisions on how to spend the money. And I was impressed to hear this because this is actually quite unusual in Malawi. The man is the head of the household and will often make all of the decisions when it comes to how to spend money. But research and development shows that when it comes to household decision-making, women are more likely to allocate savings and devise budgets towards what will benefit the family as a whole. So they'll focus on spending money for children, for getting enough food, healthcare, and hygiene. So when women like Twombeliri are empowered, families and communities thrive. In addition to food insecurity, preventable illnesses and inadequate access to healthcare impact many in the developing world. When people are healthy, they can go to work, they can take care of their families, and they can work to improve their lives. So that's why we're working in Malawi to help build healthy communities. So our health programs in Malawi are helping ensure that pregnant women and newborns receive the care that they need, reducing instances of malaria, improving sanitation and hygiene, and helping communities prevent the spread of HIV. It's a cruel reality that around the world, 800 women and 8,000 newborns die every day as a result of preventable complications during pregnancy and childbirth. But with support from the Government of Canada, PWSND is working to address child and maternal health issues in Malawi as well as Afghanistan, where the maternal mortality rates are among the highest in the world. PWSND's Maternal, Newborn, and Child Health Project is helping improve the quality and supply of health services by building the skills of healthcare workers and ensuring that facilities have the necessary equipment and tools. We're also working to help increase demand for these health services, enhancing community participation in reproductive health, and empowering women to make decisions for their own and their children's health, which is a right that they're often denied. PWSND's partners, the Mulanje Mission Hospital and the Mbangweni Mission Hospital, are implementing the Maternal Health Project in Malawi. So when we visited the Mulanje Mission Hospital, they took us to one of the health posts that they're supporting. So here we are standing in front of the Damula Health Post. So there's me, and I'm standing beside Kristen, the program coordinator for PWSND's projects in Africa. And then we're with our partners at Mulanje, and then our board member from BC, Andrea, is standing there too. I'll never forget that visit. The health post was absolutely sprawling. It was just filled with women and children patiently standing in line waiting to see a doctor. Whatever space was available was being used to help provide this vital care. So as you can see in this photo, there was actually a row of women sitting there with their babies. But I just captured this one woman with her baby who's getting vaccinated there. But really just seeing the number of people crowding into this health post just made me realize how important and vital these services are and how great it is that people like you are supporting it and how important it is to continue supporting this work. So these health posts, the reason they're so valuable is because they're situated in very remote rural areas so that families who live too far from a hospital and can't afford to travel there can still get this really important life-saving care. So at these posts, certified medical professionals provide free medicine, vaccines, supplies, and information that will ensure women and their children have a chance to lead a healthy life together. So at this health post is where I met Hilda Thomas. Hilda is 38 years old, and she has 6 children. And she's so happy that the Damula Health Post exists because she can easily walk to this clinic from where she lives. Hilda was there that day to get some vaccinations. She's in the examining room there. But while I was talking to her, I got to learn that she's participating in family planning sessions with support from the Mulanje Mission Hospital. So I'd mentioned that part of PWSND's work is to empower women to make decisions for their own bodies and their own health and well-being. And family planning is a really important part of this work through the Maternal Health Project. Through family planning, women can better access economic opportunities and make choices about when and if they have children based on their family circumstances. So family planning helps to foster more prosperous families helps create better futures for entire communities. This is what Hilda had to share about her experience with the family planning aspect of this program. She said, "Because of spacing between my children, I have more free time to do the things I need to do, like farming, domestic chores, and caring for my children." So as we've learned in this last story, in Malawian communities, reproductive health topics like family planning and sexually transmitted diseases are really shrouded in taboo. They're not talked about in school or discussed at home. But reproductive health is actually just so important for vulnerable communities to be able to combat poverty and to be able to improve their lives and have brighter futures. So a big part of our maternal health project is improving knowledge and access to reproductive health services. And the people that are helping bring about these topics out into the open and create positive change are these young people here in this photo who I got to meet. Their names are Thoko, Peter, and Mafuno. I didn't meet the fourth person, so I only know three of their names. But they're peer educators, and with support from the Mulanje Mission Hospital, they go around to different villages in Malawi teaching youth about family planning, preventing teenage pregnancy, HIV testing and counseling, and accessing contraceptives and just embracing healthy living habits. These educators were so proud to talk about what they've been accomplishing with these group participants. They spoke really passionately about what they're accomplishing together. They said, talking about the people who are in the groups, they said they want to start engaging in better, healthier behavior. And that's what Peter told me, and he's wearing that white t-shirt. He also said they're reducing smoking and they're getting tested and treated for sexually transmitted diseases. Mafuno, he's in the black shirt, said the boys and girls know how to prevent sexually transmitted diseases. They're also better able to resist peer pressure. So these are all really simple seeming things, but they're actually making a world of difference in Malawi. And I knew these things were important, but it wasn't until I actually went to Malawi and got to speak with our partners there and speak with the development specialists we're working with there, just how important family planning really is. And I got to learn just how vital it was and how important this aspect of the project is. So this kind of transformation for youth and mothers and children is happening in other parts of Malawi through our partners at the Embangweni Mission Hospital. When we visited the Embangweni Mission Hospital, we got to see recent renovations to the health facilities that donations from people like you are helping to make possible. So among the highlights were a renovated labor ward and waiting room and five new delivery rooms with all the necessary equipment needed for safe and healthy pregnancies and deliveries. So this is just a peek at one of the rooms in the new labor ward. And I have to say, I was really impressed with what I saw there. There were a lot of other pictures I probably should have included, but the facilities were looking really quite good. In Embangweni, we got to meet with a few mothers who are benefiting from these healthcare services that you're helping to support. So this is Lucia Chawinga. She lives in the village of Chimsawezgo, and she's wearing the lime green shirt there. She's 29 years old, and the babies that she and her friend are carrying, that's her second set of twins, and their names are Blessings and Fristina. So Lucia, she was a really happy person. She has a lot of hope for the future now, she shared, for herself and for her babies, who she shared, that are doing quite well now. This is what she had to share about her experience with the Maternal Health Project. She said, "In the past, I gave birth at home, which was dangerous. But after receiving education from the community health workers with this project, I started going to the hospital for prenatal care and for my delivery." Lucia had five prenatal visits when she was pregnant with these twins, and she shared that she learned a lot. She learned about the importance of postnatal care so that her babies can survive and thrive, and she also learned about how to make sure they get enough nutrients. She also said, "I'm very happy with this project. I'm getting messages which are helping uplift my life and the life of my family, and it is helping me to raise my children well." Together, we're also helping families have sustainable livelihoods, which means having food, water, shelter, and clothing, what they need in order to survive. It means being self-sufficient and being able to take care of your family. It means access to economic opportunities and meaningful employment. We're helping families get what they need in order to access economic opportunities and rise above poverty through our partners at the Ekwendeni Hospital. Unfortunately, my part of the trip ended before we got to visit beneficiaries of the projects with the Ekwendeni Hospital. But since this congregation has been such dedicated supporters of the work there, I also wanted to include this update. One of the ways that this project is helping families have sustainable livelihoods is through self-help groups, much like the group that Twambaliri was part of in Karanga. So members of communities are coming together to save and distribute loans amongst their group, and then they use these loans to invest in their business or to buy things to renovate and improve their homes, to help their farms, things like that. Thoko is a member of a self-help group, which has completely transformed her life. Her husband left her several years ago, leaving her to care for their 6 children alone. And she's really been struggling to meet even their most basic needs. Through the self-help group, Thoko received a loan of about 40,000 Malawian kwacha, which is around $50, from her self-help group. She invested this money in her farm. She bought supplies like fertilizer to help improve her crops so that they could grow. And the rest of it she used to pay school fees for 3 of her children, who are in secondary school. Because she's been able to improve her farm with this loan and grow more crops, she's been earning a better income. And with these earnings from her improved income, she also bought supplies to renovate her home, and she's also been able to purchase 1 pig and 1 goat, which will also be a continuing source of income for her. And it all started from that one loan through her self-help group. Now, Thoko has more than enough to meet her needs, and because she's been so happy with her experience, she is going around promoting the self-help group and trying to get as many people as she can involved in this project. The verse we read today begins with Paul rejoicing in generosity and in God who strengthens us. I kept feeling this same sense of joy when I saw how change really is growing from the seeds of hope that we're planting together through our partners in Malawi, through you, and through God who strengthens us. It's thanks to you that we can work for a world where all people enjoy peace, prosperity, and God's promise of abundant life. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much, Anna. And if there's anything that I really feel that I've gained from it is the sense of God's word being put into practice as they try to help people in Malawi, not just in a very simple sense, but in a very profound sense, and in senses that we have never dreamt that we would, comprehend. It's such a well-balanced and all-encompassing, if I could use that expression, work that we have in Malawi. So let's give thanks to the God of grace and the God of mercy for what he has accomplished in Malawi through our ministry.